Welcome back to Chastity Pod. I'm your host, Locked Fist Monster, and here as always with my co-host, Denai Dumpling.
Hi, y'all. How's everything going?
And today we've got some very special guests. They're the co-hosts of Such Fun. Who are you guys, and what the hell is Such Fun?
I'm Jazmataz, and my co-host is Big Butt Geek.
Hello.
I am a fisting blogger, and Big Butt Geek is a fisting illustrator, digital illustrator. And we have been running our podcast since 2020. It's been going great guns. We're about to start our fifth season, and we're very excited. We're very excited to be on your show.
Yeah. The story I like to tell is that I bullied him into this. And at some point, I just broke him. And we've just done it ever since. You can't.
Big, hard. Big Butt Geek and Jazmataz, how did you guys even meet?
Online.
It was Grindr. Yeah. Well, no, not sort of. So it was 2020, but just before shit hit the fan. So this was like early February, I think. So I was in Berlin. I was meeting with the Lube brand, Xlube, that are based in Berlin, because they had student administration work for them. So I thought, fuck it, I'll make a week of it. And then this famous fister that I had no idea who they were. I wasn't following them. I blame algorithms. It was nothing malicious. Said person of the name of Jasmine has messaged me like, hey, I'm in Berlin. I live here. I see you're in town. Do you want to come with me and some friends to Kit Kat Club tonight? I think maybe I put on blind. I'm going to go. And I was like, fuck it, why not? And in a odd moment of being social, I was like, yeah, I'll go to a stranger's house and just have to drink people that I don't really know. I think Jazz, like how much you know me now, I think you realize that how out of my comfort zone that was for me.
and to be honest, like in those moments where I do have essentially strangers from the community, let's say, over to my house, magic is often made, and magic was made this time over a couple of glasses of wine and then going out to Kit Kat Club. And then I think you had the brilliant idea maybe a few days later when you'd gone back home to start this podcast together.
It was a few months, but we kept in contact. It was literally, it was just one meeting, one evening. We kept in contact. Just like, hey, well, you know, next time in town, we'll hang out. And then I had this idea in the midst of lockdown. You know, I didn't have much else to do. So I was just doing all my fisting artwork and listening to podcasts. I was like, surely there's a fisting podcast. Like, there was certainly enough kink podcasts, you know, very like umbrella ones, you know, covering all kinds of kink and fetish.
Right.
But I thought, well, surely there's one specifically for fisting, because all my experience of this kink is like, well, when I'm around other fisters, like, we'll just talk endlessly about it. It's just, you know, who knows who and what's what, and who knows this person from Twitter, and have you tried this thing, or this guy goes deep, and have you tried this? I could just talk endlessly about this. So I thought, surely someone's come up with this.
And
I
scoured the internet.
There wasn't. It had just been like a subject on like other podcast, you know, like, oh, this is our fisting episode. And it'll be, you know, 20 to 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was either by people who didn't do it themselves. It was like, well, I have a friend who did it, and, you know, oh, whoops, they went too far and ended up in the hospital. Or it was just people who just kind of saw it online, and it was quite derogatory, you know, ways they were talking about it. I was like, come on, surely there's a gap in the market for this.
This is remarkably similar.
Yeah, there
similar.
Is a hole that needs... Yeah. So, and Jazz was literally the first, hand on heart, it was the first person I spoke to about it. I just thought, because I knew he was a writer of fisting, and I knew he was very articulate, he could write really well. So I gave this idea to him, oh, you should go and do that. That would be good for you to do. And then I could probably find the WhatsApp messages. He was like, well, I'll only do it if you do it with me. So I was like, okay. So... And then we kind of bounced the idea around for a bit, and finally, like, I was in Berlin again, in a very COVID-heavy Berlin, and I was like, okay, let's record some episodes, and we did it on his couch, and terrible audio quality, but there was something there, and I'm sure you know yourselves, like, you know, the first time you listen to your voice back after it's been recorded is like,
oh, nails on a chalkboard,
it's awful.
Yeah, it's horrible. So obviously it was just so crazy. So we recorded one episode, was it? And then we stopped and we had a break and we listened back to it. And obviously it's, but then once you kind of walk through that wall of fire, then you actually kind of listen to what you're saying rather than how you're saying it.
Exactly.
And it was like, oh, there's something here. There's, dare I say, chemistry. Mm. It was like, you know, I was sort of laughing at my jokes, and he was like, oh, jazz sounds really interesting. I was like, oh, there's something here. So then we just kept going with it.
And our first fans, just they their ears bled throughout the first season, and they enjoyed it.
I was listening to your whole first season as it was coming out. You guys came out, like, from inception to actually releasing your first episode was fairly quick turnaround, because you released it in 2020.
It was about a month turnaround. We called in a couple of our famous friends. Like, we were both friends with Hungry FF and Axel Abyss. So, like, hello, please, can we just, like, borrow some of your clout? So we interviewed a couple of both of them. So I think that gave us just a bit. I mean, obviously they're friends of ours, so that was, you know, it wasn't strangers, right. But it was, that just gave us a bit more, I suppose, validity as well. That really helped. But we were just, I honestly thought like 30 people would listen to it, and then just we just started releasing. So we just recorded it in a bubble, really, 8 episodes, yeah. And then it just went out, and then it just, you know, 100 plays, 200, 1,000, 5,000, and it just kept growing. Like, okay, I guess there's something here. And so
people were hungry, man.
And they really were. We found that hole in the market and filled it.
And here you are now between season 4 and season 5. How many plays are you at this point? How many episodes do you guys have?
It's like 40 something, I think.
Yeah.
And 200,000 plays.
Jesus.
That's over 75 countries that have listened.
Oh, hundreds.
Yeah, I think it was like the first season, I don't know, analytics on these things, it said it was 100 countries, but then it sort of gone down. I mean, ultimately, the majority of people who listen to us are in America. And now it's like UK, Australia, Germany, Canada.
And now you guys are 5 seasons, or almost 5 seasons, that's in the works. That's insane. That's so crazy.
And yeah, I think I had this idea, like, because I knew so many people that had done podcasts, and obviously there was a lot that were birthed out of the pandemic as well. And I just thought, I don't want to do this thing where we commit to doing a new episode every, you know, X day of the week for how long, because we'll just burn out. We won't, there is ultimately, you know, a limit to how much we can talk about with it. And there's times where we're not creative, and we both have day jobs as well. We're never paid to do this. Yeah. So we just thought, well, let's do it like a season format. So then we just kind of, you know, have a burst of creativity. We kind of do a recording block, and then, you know, go into an editing process, and then just release it. So, and then it sort of exists like chapters of a book, really. People, you know, they're all titled as well. So you can think, oh, I'm interested in that topic. I'll go in and listen to that one, or that one doesn't really interest me, or whatever. So people, you know, so a lot of the plays, they'll go towards certain episodes. Some are less listened to, more so. And that's seen this very well. And obviously, that's something that you've taken on board as well. And I think that works for people.
Completely plagiarized your strategy.
That's okay.
Well, they took it from someone else. So I was fine with it. Yeah.
We're like, yeah, because we had also, we had started talking about this sometime during the pandemic. And it took until December 2021 for us to actually start recording the first episode. And then we didn't release season 1 until we had recorded the 6 episodes that we thought would be like a good resource for people. And we released that in the summer of 2022. So by the time we actually released, you guys were like on season 2 or 3. I think you had finished season 2. I think you guys were like starting season 3 by the time we came out with even season 1.
We've definitely had like a move fast and break things kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And I think that's somehow how he and I work together well. I'm probably the one that's more with my foot on the brakes just out of procrastination. But she runs. Holy shit.
I don't know. We do have a good cop backup thing, and there's times where it's either we're good cop backup with each other, or we have to meet up with a guest or a sponsor, or just, you know, different things. It's like, right, this needs to be done, and it needs to be done in this way. And I think perhaps it was a little bit unbalanced in the beginning, but certainly from series 2 onwards, we definitely found our rhythm with each other. as well. And then sort of the big test of it was when we've done a lot of traveling together, like we've done sort of big tours of the US. Yeah. And that, I mean, let alone a podcast, that'll, you know, you're spending all day, every day with someone for 2 weeks and traveling and sharing bed. That will make or break a friendship or any kind of relationship. So I was like, oh, fuck. Like, we're either going to be closer from this or we'll never speak to each other again. But luckily at the end, when we did a two-week tour in end of 2022, culminating in both of our first visits to FistFest, it was... Yeah, we finally parted ways at the airport in London. It was like, I love you. I mean, it could have been the sleep deprivation.
Yeah, we definitely got good at being very honest with each other, didn't we?
There we go. That's true for myself and Locked Fist as well.
I can imagine. I want to ask you so much about your podcast, but I guess where the interview is.
Jump in. Interject at any time. You can the outline that we have. You can totally ignore that. We jump around as we go.
Well, I'll
oh, no, I enjoy. I enjoy being asked questions, Rich. I'm like, ooh, okay. Ooh,
let's keep going.
So I had a small question about how, and Jazz, you can definitely ask us questions towards the end. I'm very excited to know what you would love to ask our pod, our little pod. But considering, you know, for us, our whole philosophy was, you know, like the basics. And then, you know, as we're going through season two and season three, you know, new coming up, building season three, we've come with a new direction. Has there really been a philosophy shift that's really evolved as you've progressed through the seasons? And what can we expect from your season five?
What we're going to do, we've got some very special guests. So
I'm just going to put my cage on while you talk.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. We've got the ghost of Princess Diana, because I don't think that corpse has been exhumed quite enough.
Mm-hmm. And the ghost of Kate Middleton.
We can milk a bit more content out of her, I think. Yeah.
I'm excited to hear her views on Fistied.
Well, you know, she did go to that gay bar with Freddie Mercury that one time.
Correct.
You know, she learned, you know, we are, so she was an ally.
Was Freddie a fister? Do we know that?
I mean, doubt, right?
Just coded for sure.
Yeah. There was a gay celebrity here, Michael Barrymore. And someone died in his pool, like, and apparently it's from this young boy. They were clearly doing lots and lots of drugs, and then someone got in the pool. They thought he drowned in the pool, and then we did the autopsy. He died of like serious internal injuries. So basically, they were like fisting the hell out of him, and he died.
Oh shit! And then they tossed him in the pool.
You can Google that, everyone. Yeah, I don't know. I think they tried to be like, oh yeah, he drowned in the pool, and it's like, no, you were all really high and. Really shoving ridiculous things inside this poor boy.
Oh,
yeah.
Consensually.
So season five, you're interviewing ghosts to tell you about Fistied. I'm loving it.
Can I answer your question a little more seriously?
Yeah.
So season four had the overarching theme of identity and what identity we prescribe ourselves as kinksters, as fisters, as gay men, or as queer people in the modern world. And I think that in every episode, regardless of who we were interviewing or what the focus was, we got to always frame it with identity. As for season five, I'm not really sure whether we've discussed yet what our overarching theme is going to be. Big Butt Geek will probably have many ideas, because I think you were the one that came up with identity. For season four.
In series three, because that was our season of doing a lot of travel, and it was more this idea of community and just different fisting communities around the world, or you know, wherever we could afford a plane ticket to. So yeah, I don't know if the themes emerged yet, but one thing I was very adamant on, this is probably a big spoiler. I'm not sure when this will come out, but we've talked before. I was very keen to have my mother being interviewed. Yeah. So yeah, BBG's mom makes an appearance. Yeah. You've listened to it, haven't you, Jazz?
I listened to most of it, yeah. It's very good.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I listened to the episode where the two of you went with BBG's mother to Barcelona, I think it was.
Yeah.
Barcelona.
I love Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah. And she told us about her prolapse and her dick sucking skills. Yeah.
Yes. So, like,
my God, is that a joke?
No. Listen to this episode.
It was. Yeah, it's the Eurotrash episode. Yeah. So yeah, no, she just because it was my birthday because she lives in Spain. So she was like, "Oh, if you're both there, I'll come up and join you." And yeah.
Oh my God. She's
around, like the gay shops. Yeah.
Bookmarked.
Was she aware of your podcast before she joined you on this Barcelona trip?
Oh yeah, she knows everything.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, she knows the artwork I do. She knows about the podcast. Yeah. So I think it came out of it because I realized like, how open she is about all these things. Like any mother, she has her concerns. But yeah, and then I realized like, oh, I can kind of tell her everything. And then I thought, well, maybe it'll be quite beneficial for other people to hear from a parent like her. So yeah, that's how it's born out. And then Jazz is recording an episode with his husband as well, who's not a fister. So, you know, there's very intimate relationships that they have that don't revolve around fisting, but it's how they kind of, I guess, how they navigate fisting in terms of our relationships to us as well. So I said, I'm not sure of the overarching thing as of yet. I think it will emerge as we record more, but yeah. I'm going to Gran Canaria just to be trashy pigs.
Oh shit. I still have to book that hotel.
It's sounding so far just from that the theme seems to be sort of the interaction between fisting and the non-fisting world.
Yeah. Certainly like fisting for real life,
yeah.
Which I think, I don't know if it's Twitter. I don't know if it's kink, but I've always felt this strange difficulty of like, what is my life and what is my fisting? And when I see things online of fisters, it looks not even just fisters. It looks like they're totally obsessed with sex every minute of every single day. And that's all that their life is. And obviously that is not true. And I thought a long time ago, do I want to also reflect that kind of attitude, or do I want to be real and acknowledge that some days I'm just not horny? Some days I've planned to have a fist in the evening and I cancel because I'm just not in the mood, and that is okay. And my life is so many other different things, and my life with my husband has generally nothing to do with fisting, except for when I'm going fisting and he's not, or I'm recording a podcast and he's not. Yeah. So I think this is slowly becoming a deeper, more interesting topic that we want to share. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Intersectionality is so, so big in season two and coming up into season three. There's so many facets of us. We're multifaceted people. We're not one dimensional, right? At all.
And why should we pretend that we are?
And a spoiler for later this season, we actually do have an episode on our show in season three planned for how chastity fits in with your other relationships and with people who aren't really into chastity play. Like I'm super into chastity, been into chastity for years, obviously. My husband takes it or leaves it. Like it doesn't do anything for him as a kink. How do we balance that? So we have a whole episode sort of planned for that as well. And it sounds like you guys do too for such fun.
Yeah, nice.
We did a lot last year of how fisting interplays with some other kink, like pat play. Obviously, there's a lot of intersectionality. Obviously, we had you guys on as well because we know the overlap between, so guess what, it's banned on more. You know, the overlap between fisting and being locked, that seems to be growing more and more. And they seem to complement each other quite well.
Yeah, we had such a great episode with you guys in season four. All of our listeners should go check out Such Fun's crossover episode with us, where Big Butt Geek and Jasmine Taz actually asked us a lot of questions about starting chastity. And both of them Jazz had a very, if I remember correctly, a very short encounter where he tried on a cage once and he hasn't picked it up since. And one of the
things have changed.
Things have changed. When we... To break in here, and then I'll let you continue.
Yeah, of course.
When we had the episode with you guys, when we recorded that episode last year, where we were at,
it was summer, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was last summer. My Prince Albert was still at 2 gauge. It's now at 00 gauge. Jasmine Taz was intrigued, but hadn't really gotten into chastity. I don't think Big Butt Geek had mentioned had even tried Chastity at that point.
No, it actually sounded at that point that you were not into it at all. You were like, eh, she's not for me. Maybe not. Some people like chocolate, others like vanilla.
And then Denied Dumpling was still relatively inexperienced with fisting. And like, I know that you've made huge strides with that since then.
Oh my God, so much.
But last time we threw down this gauntlet for you guys where we said, get locked up, get punched out while locked up, and then come on our show and tell us about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that's the backstory for now. And okay, Denied Dumpling, jump back in.
Yeah. So basically the question is, both of you, you know, just tell us a little bit about what you guys have tried and where you guys are now with Chastity.
Do you want to go first?
I think you'll story.
Oh, suddenly she's quiet. Suddenly she's quiet. Oh. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I think it stems from, actually, I think we both have a similar starting point in that we K3D, which great company. They're the sponsors of you guys. They sponsored us in series four as well. We really do love those guys. They're fantastic. So we were in San Francisco last year. And they have their base of operations really close to San Francisco. So we're like, hey, let's meet up. And then they invited us to where they make the cages, at fantastic setup they have. And they were very, very kind. They offered us to fit us with custom cages, you know. So they did the whole fitting process, which for me, that's never done that before. I was like, God, this is quite involved. Like, it was a lot of trial and error to kind of get the right sizes. Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't. Patience to try it, but yeah, and they're very kind of gifted us obviously these great high quality cages. So it's like, oh, okay, I have this now, better use it. And obviously you got your stunning pink one, Jazz.
Yeah, I got resized because the first black one that I had gotten from King 3D turned out to not be the ideal fit because my foreskin is just hanging on the floor, you know.
Ooh.
I've actually considered getting circumcised recently. If for no other reason than to be more comfortable in a cage.
You would not be the first to get circumcised for chastity play.
Mm-hmm.
The pink one certainly fits a lot better. I'm wearing it right now. I just put it on. And I don't know. So last summer, yeah, that's right. So we were at King 3D's offices and then like at that point, I decided I'm going to try wearing it for a whole week. And I did. And I think I learned that my dick is really fucking temperamental. And so kind of being locked up was not for me this kind of like being imprisoned. It was just like I locked up and then my dick was like, okay, fine. I'm out of here. No worries. A week. Do your best. So, and I had no idea that was going to be the case, but it was. Getting fisted with a cage on is really nice, I got to say. Mm-hmm. I want to try it more. The problem at the moment is, as an Australian living in the far northern hemisphere, I go into a winter hibernation, so I really don't care if I have sex or not. And it's been like that now for, 4 months, I guess? I can feel my body coming out of it.
You've had a lot of sex. I've had a
regular amount of sex, but I'm not like I'm not crazy for it.
I've been there for some of it.
Yeah. Like,
don't let her tell lies on this podcast.
Oh, she's being demure. She's holding out.
It's just not the same as inside.
Why are you lying to the listeners?
So winter hibernation is less sex. So instead of 100 guys every night.
Yeah, that's it. It's just like less sex.
It's not even physical. It's more psychological. It's more like,
yeah, sure. I'll like have every sex. Day while I was there.
We were on tour. That was slightly different. We came back home.
But I was in Berlin like a few weeks ago.
So what's the current?
What's the
routine
truth?
For?
What's the
no,
truth?
No. What's the routine
the
you guys have?
The truth
currently?
Is, she's a fucking liar. That's
Well, let's bring it back to the cage. So I haven't worn the cage since summer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Because I haven't felt the urge. And I look forward to trying it again in summer when I get the urge.
Because I remember when you were in Chicago, you and Big Bucky were in Chicago at the Fisting Social in...
Yeah.
When was that? That was right after I had moved to Chicago. That was
beginning
August,
of October.
October. Okay, yeah.
October, yeah.
So that was the last time I wore it. It was fun, definitely. And I was kind of finding my feet with it. It's just going to be a slow process for me because, there's the summer winter problem. I'm not very imaginative with my sex in winter. It's just like, right, do the fisting, do the fucking, be done with it. My poor sex partners, goddamn.
You're like, I'm very vanilla in the winter. All I do is fist.
That's kind of how I feel.
You mentioned in one of your posts, Jazz, that you said, I'm not quoting verbatim. You basically said something along the lines of like, oh my God, being locked and being fisted is incredible. Why have I never done this before?
Wow. Did I say that?
Okay. Something along those lines.
No recollection. I guess I've got things to look forward to in summer then. I smoke too much weed. I have a really bad memory. I'm going to go and find that tweet though. That sounds nice.
Yeah, go back to talk to Jasmine Tass from that day. I want to interview that one.
Get in the time machine. We're going back. All right. Well, Big Butt Geek, what about you? How you've got this fancy new cage. What mm-hmm. have you done with it?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I realized is that I have quite shy balls. They just the challenge to kind of get them through. Mm. I don't know if they're too big. I don't know. Like, it's just that's been some days it's just a one ball day. You know what I mean? Like, the other ball's hiding. The other ball's through the loop. So, any tips for that, I welcome.
How are you putting the base ring on first? Are you shoving your penis through first and then going with your balls? Or are you putting your balls in first? Okay, balls in first is the way I do it. Do you have any ball stretchers or use ball stretchers ever?
No, don't have any. I've ever used them.
Get like one or two, like just the little silicone ones from, Ox balls. Or actually, Top Toys recently has been throwing in like a ball stretcher when you buy their toys. So, and I like their little ball stretcher. So grab that one, the little figure eight one. That one's fantastic.
Yeah. I think I read they're not used to being manhandled. They're like, excuse me, I was doing just fine here. Yeah. It's sort of like, oh, I don't like this.
And so my advice is
but today's a good day. They've played ball today.
Right. My advice is separate from the cage, just like toss on a ball stretcher every now and then. For like a half hour or an hour and just sort of play with it on or walk around with it on or whatever and just stretch your nutsack.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, I might do it. Yeah, I think it's just a different sensation.
Yeah.
For them, they're like, oh, no.
Some of my friends...
I've had 35 years of doing nothing.
Yeah, some of my friends have really small nuts. And so even like the size zero ring from King 3D is too small for them. And so they get the ox balls.
Too big for them.
Oh, excuse me. Too big for it. The ring is too big for them. So the balls still like slip through. And so what they do is they use the ox balls on top of the cage and it keeps their nuts nice and confined and it doesn't slip through. But yeah, it does take a little bit of time to get it through.
Yeah. But no, I knew this was coming up. I was like, I gotta do it. And it's kind of, I've yet to have any kind of anal play with it. That's happening shortly. But that would just be me and my toys. So that'll be fun. Ooh. I think, because I normally jack off like when I play with toys, so it'd be interesting to see how that process goes.
Crazy.
I'm quite excited about. I wanted to just get comfortable with the cage first. So like, I was walking around town with it on yesterday. I think I went to work with it the other day as well, and just getting used to the sensation of it. And it's weird because I have quite a good relationship with my dick, I think. I refer to people, that you know either want to get everything removed or I have silicone, I'm not fussing about the size of my dick or anything. I'm not really concerned. Like, I have a nice wank every so often, that's good. So it's weird having this on. So I'm very aware of my dick and balls. I'm like, oh, I remember you, hi. And it's weird, it's kind of brought back the stuff from like before I got into fisting, where I was very focused on it as well. So I'm like, oh, okay. It's brought all this back up again, which is one of the beautiful things I found about fisting, was that like, okay, I don't have to worry about any of this. I mean, I'm perfectly average, but it's just, am I big enough for this person? Am I this? Am I that? What if I get so all this crap, which everyone goes through. So I was like, oh, I can leave all of that behind with this wonderful king. So now it's like, hello, all of this again.
Well, you can also leave all of that behind with chastity too, because it doesn't matter how big you are if you're locked, right? Like
it's just being aware of it as well. I don't know. Maybe it's just like, you know, how people with like giant dicks feel. I don't know. It's just a thing that is constantly there. I don't know. You're just aware of it. And I'm oh shit, I'm going to set my balls.
I have a bit of a flip side thing of that. Like when I fist, especially like with one particular fisting partner lately, I have to absolutely fuck as well, to the detriment of the fisting. Like I spend most of the session fucking him and I don't want to anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to lock it up so that I can fist him more. So like, that's kind of my imagination for the near future, is like locking up for that reason.
That is an excellent reason to lock up. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I lock up, is that if I'm unlocked and my dick is out, a lot of attention ends up getting focused on my dick. And like, if I want to be playing with my hole,
how humble of you.
I know. I'm
sorry about that.
I'm exceedingly, exceedingly humble. No, but like, Jazz, you have experience by penis. It's a nice penis.
Your balls are like, I'm really into balls. So
yeah, they're like eggs. They're like little eggs. Yeah.
I will cut balls for hours if I can. My husband has egg-like balls and just like, you know.
Right. So I have great balls and a great dick. And if I'm unlocked, that tends to come into play. And if I'm like trying to focus on playing with my hole, that can be a distraction. So being locked up lets me focus on what I actually want to be focusing on more.
Yeah.
So a lot of most of the people who listen to our podcast are into chastity, I assume. Maybe there's someone listening for some other reason. I don't know. But
maybe they just really like locks. Like they just, they, you know, they're like, maybe padlocks, you know. You know, safety deposit boxes.
Well, someone definitely playing our podcast helped them sleep for sure.
We're a sleep aid for some people. Maybe that's some of our listener base. But most of the people who listen are listening because they're very into chastity play. Some of them might not be into fisting, or might be curious about fisting, but don't know where to start. So, what advice do you have for those who are locked up and want to get into fisting?
Don't. It's a terrible, terrible kink.
Don't waste your life.
It's a slippery slope. It's a gateway kink. It's a gateway kink into much, much, much more terrible, darker things.
Chastity. So
yeah, chastity, the gateway kink. We've got that locked up.
Now that we have all the horrible, nasty delinquents, what should they do?
Yeah.
Buy yourself a toy.
Yeah, start with toys. Love of God. Yeah.
Buy yourself or an oversized dildo.
I think we've been doing this long enough now. I think it's sort of a bit of a golden age of fisting as well. I think just in terms of access to information, I guess we're a bit part of that. I think the quality of toys as well, the quality of lube as well, that's just come over in the last like 5 years or so. That's just the quality of all these things are just massively improved.
And how connected the community is. I think above all things, it's that. It's the way the community has developed.
But then the flip side is there's more people than ever. So I think it means people can be, I think I probably touched on this on our show, that I think with it having so many people into it now, I think then people can now afford to be a bit picky about who they play with. I mean, people always have their preferences as well. But I remember even when I first started this, it was like, hey, you're into it, I'm into it, you seem nice, cool, let's do this. You didn't really have a huge plethora of people to choose from. I think you do now. And I've certainly seen fisters that are like, you know, muscle for muscle only and must be this or, you know, and that, I mean, that's certainly nothing unusual for gays. But within the kink, as well, that you're looking for a very particular body shape or height and thing, which I've said, I'm like, this is nuts. You're just really streamlining your play options.
Yeah, literally. It's just a whole.
Yeah.
So for
So to bring back to
basic advice for guys getting into fisting for the first time, we've got toys. Right. What should they be looking for in toys? What's a quality toy?
Silicone, 100% platinum cured silicone.
Is ideal.
So you have, you have brands like Square Peg, Top Toys. We're big fans of those. There's Hankies as well. All of them will start with like very modest sizes as well. They obviously do accommodate to the more experienced players as well. So they have monster size as well. Please don't think that's where you have to get to. There's people have been doing this for decades and will never sit on some of their XXL toys. Don't just put that out of your brain. Like Top Toys as well, they have some fantastic shapes and designs which go beyond the standard like Christmas tree like plug shape that we all know. They have some really interesting shapes as well, which I think are much better suited to beginners as well. Stuff that's good for your depth, it's good to replicate the feeling of a fist going in and out, that kind of pop sensation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, really go with any of those. Just start on the smaller sizes. Or if you are flexible enough, try fisting yourself.
For newbies, when you start with your toys, would you recommend a firmer or softer toy?
Soft.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, yeah. It's funny, like I start off with cheaper, harder toys, and now like I'm so used to these high quality ones that when a hard plastic, which by the way, these materials are not designed to go inside the human body, they tend to secrete chemicals and things. It's really not good. I mean, all those kind of toys, they will actually say in very small writing on the packaging, like not for internal use or sold as novelty only. So basically it's the get out of jail free card. Like it's not actually meant to go inside you. So it's only like 100% platinum because silicone is body safe. Mm-hmm. So you could leave it inside you if you wanted. Not indefinitely, but yeah. So, I find my hole just doesn't like those kind of hard materials. And it could be a size I'm more than capable of doing, but just like hard, rigid plastic. I'm like, oh, no, she's temperamental. No, she doesn't like it. No, she's soft things.
Can I add one thing? I think when it comes to your kink, you've got to follow your heart. Mm-hmm. So I personally like hard toys as well.
Mm-hmm.
I develop more on soft toys, but I'm hornier on hard toys. Hard, shitty PVC. That's like I threw out my collection of old PVC toys last year, but I kept the ones that had the right shape. Because I was like, I can't let you go. I bought you because of your shape and I'm still in love with you and I'm still going to put you inside me. And those are some of my horniest moments when I'm playing alone.
I've still got two old Doc Johnson toys that I've had now. I think one of them for more than a decade that are like shitty and probably not body safe at all. But it's the Doc Johnson Bunker Buster. It's just the ridges are in all the right places. And like I rarely ride it these days, but like I've got it on my wine rack of toys because sometimes you need that ridge in that specific spot.
They're a mood, absolutely.
These toxic exits.
I know. No, I've gotten rid of almost all of my old PVC toys. I think I've got like two left, and I'm saying goodbye to them. I'm like, you guys really, I need to get rid of you at some point. Haven't quite yet. You also mentioned
Lou. I think I still got one of the Rambo, the Doc Johnson Rambo, and that 18-inch one.
Rambo.
I've got that, actually. Yeah,
Rambo kills. Rambo kills people. That needs to be known. Rambo has perforated guts.
Yeah. So
user beware.
So to the listeners, get platinum grade silicone, despite the fact that we just said that we'd like some hard, shitty plastic toys.
Oh, that's so funny. I was on the Rambone literally yesterday. I just Googled because I wanted to make sure if that was what I was using.
If you go slow with lots of lube.
Just be very aware of what's happening. Certainly don't get high on those kind of things. You know, your chemical preferences are entirely your business, but maybe you have all your senses about you if you're going to write something like that. Do not get carried away on something as hard and rigid as that.
Yeah.
It goes that deep.
Listen to your body. Like if your body is like, if you're like, what, I don't know, 10 inches, 12 inches deep, and you feel the ram bone like really pressing, don't press it in deeper. You just leave it where it is. Like, that's enough, you know, and then you'll be fine. Like, you just really need to be in tune with what your body is telling you. And of course, drugs prevent that. Right. Lots of lube, slow. Yeah.
Methodic. Yeah.
We've said lube many times. What lube should people be using?
People will have their preferences. Again, what is completely body safe would be, I'm a huge stan for X-Lube. I mean, if you do pick up a bottle, you'll find a sticker of a famous visitor in there, and it might be me that's illustrated them. So maybe I'm a little biased, but no, they are, believe me, I've seen all their documentation of all the lab testing they've done. It is 100% body safe. As well, so that's good for anal play, vaginal play. So a lot of trans people enjoy it as well. Yeah, it lasts a long time. It's super easy to mix. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's an ethical company. It's a queer company, and it's generally bodily safe. Which, much like a lot of toys you'll find in sex shop, most lubes are not actually safe to put inside you.
J-Lube is one of those queer owned.
No, X-Lube.
X-Lube. Okay, I was like,
No, no. So
X-Animal has been to the...
No. Yeah. Not the J-Lube. No.
Right. X-Lube, copy.
It's weird how obviously J-Lube has become so synonymous with this kink, but it's really kind of the worst thing you could put inside you.
So to clarify for people listening going, what the fuck is this X-Lube and J-Lube stuff? The X-Lube is 100% polyethylene oxide, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then that's the active ingredient in most other fisting lubes. So J lube, K lube, fisting powder, what have you. And what it is it's a polymer chain that when it's dry, it's a tiny little granule. When mixed with water, the water bonds to the polymer, it unfolds and it makes these nice, long, thin, invisible chains that slide past each other, which is what gives it that nice lubey sensation, that nice slippery sensation. And so the great thing about it is you can adjust its viscosity. You can adjust how thick or thin it is by the amount of water you add to it. And you only need like a capful of water, a capful of powder to make like a liter.
You'll buy one bottle of the powder and that will make 20 liters. Mm-hmm.
And then the reason we don't like J-Lube is because it uses sugar as a dispersant. So where X-Lube is 100% polyethylene oxide, J-Lube is polyethylene oxide and sugar. And that makes it a little bit easier and faster to mix, but it also means that's a nasty breeding ground for all sorts of things that you don't want inside you when you're shoving them up your butt.
Yeah, bacteria just loves it. So it'll just start eating away at the sugars. And yeah, it's if anyone's used J-Lube and obviously left it more than like 24 hours, you go and, well, even just look at it or smell it and you'll know like something funky's gone on in here. So and I know people have had all kinds of gastro issues, all kind of odd things with their bowels, with their fisters and genics, because they're playing with J-Lube and they've been leaving it inside themselves, and it's bacteria in the gut has mixed, just all kinds of nasty things has happened with it. Or people that have use J-Lube that is clearly, you know, bacteria started to grow in it as well. Mm-hmm. They've used that and, you know, ended up with all kinds of health issues.
Yeah. Have you guys?
And I do have a friend that actually is a vet and does use J-Lube on it. It's like, yeah, you really don't want, like, this is made for cows. This is really not for humans.
Made for fisting cows.
Fisting cow. They fucking love it. Yeah.
Do you guys have any experience with Crisco, boy butter? No, but you can tell me about that too. You know, boy butter, Crisco, that type of stuff. Yeah. That's pretty popular too for fisting.
Correct.
It is, yeah.
It's, I like to call it a primer. It's like pre-lube. You add it, you put it on the hole. Generally, like there, it's, you know, it's different kinds of oils. I have one that I like called Lysolid, which is a glycerol gel. Use it as a primer, and the beautiful thing, like, you add the lube after that, and lube being water-based, it dries up, it gets absorbed by the guts, and if you were not using the primer, then you'd be dry, essentially, until you add some more water. but the oil-based primer keeps your whole moisture as it keeps it nice and moist, so things can keep gliding past really easily.
Cool.
Crisco belongs to that group. Boy butter, any manner of other things you'll find in a sex shop or in your average drugstore, like the glycolate I get. It comes in a little red tub and I buy it at the drugstore down the road.
Can you use Vaseline or petroleum jelly, or should you stay away from those?
Interesting. So I bought some Vaseline the other week because glycolate had run out at the store. I thought, well, Vaseline must do it. It did it back in the days when I used to shove potatoes up my ass, you know, before the fisting days began. And so I used it. Yeah. I used it and then it seemed to go fine. And then I put it on some silicone toys.
Oh no. Oh no.
And something, it didn't feel quite like, I don't know if it, I didn't, couldn't figure out if it was like taking the material off the toy. Mm. Yeah. There was something, and it was really difficult to wash off.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. So I'm not sure. I think it's body safe, but is it toy safe? I don't know.
No, it definitely melts toys.
There you go.
It's definitely not internal safe.
Yeah.
I think it says it on the jar, whatever.
So I have
you're not to be used internally.
I have a friend, Switch Twink XL, you may know him, really, you know, really lovely pup.
Yeah.
And yeah, really lovely pup and fister. We were chatting at Mal and they were showing me their secret recipe. I don't know if it's that secret, but basically they mix, it's either K-Lube or X-Lube with boy butter. I don't know the exact ratio, but they found that this specific, it looks very creamy and opaque after they've mixed it, which I don't know how they mix it because it's, you know, oil in, but they make an emulsion and they say they swear by it. It's the best thing. I mean, I tried it. They fisted me. It was great.
I've definitely tried that.
Yeah, K-Lube, mixing.
K-Lube and boy butter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Long time ago. No complaints. Definitely. K-Lube is one that it's having a little renaissance for me because I think like when I first switched from J-Lube, it was to K-Lube and I like the way it glides. I like the consistency. So yeah, I think I'm going to buy myself a bottle again.
And then one more question about lube. Do you add anything to it, like clove oil or anything? Because I know like
I do, yeah.
What do you add? Why do you add it? Do you recommend it?
I've used a product called K-Numbing Cream. And it's the biggest ingredient is clove oil. So it just smells like clove oil. More than anything, just I think if you applied it directly to like your hole, it might have a slight numbing effect, but it's sold over the counter, so it's not going to do much. I just like it; just gives a nice sort of creamy consistency to the lube as well. I just like the smell of it, but it's almost a bit like the same relationship I have with poppers. I'm not sure it's necessarily doing much to me, but it's just the smell of it is just very. It just puts me in the mood for sex, and it just I'm just like, oh, yeah, sex is happening. If they had like a clove oil like Yankee Candle, I'd probably buy it. Or one that smelled up like Jungle Juice Black, I'd be like, oh great.
Oh my god, please.
Yeah.
Speaking of pot, that's a very popular thing amongst a lot of fisters and people who take big toys. For people who don't like poppers, is there anything else you can recommend for them to relax?
Meditation.
Thanks. Anything else?
Yoga. lots of exercise.
Hot intensive yoga while popping in a big toy. Gotcha.
Directly beforehand, yoga. Actually. Beforehand.
Unlock your root chakra before putting the fist in.
I mean, you can speak to people who know a lot about that.
Yeah. I've done a lot of play sessions, toy sessions where I've not. I don't take chems. For fisting, and there's times where I haven't even had poppers as well. But I suppose I've been doing this long enough now. I am able. I mean, it definitely helps things along if you're using poppers. I find I can't do too much because it just gives me a headache. I'm very prone to headaches. But it's just I don't know if I can give you like a how-to guide on it. It's just something you develop with time and experience. It's just finding this mental state inside you that just allows you to relax. It's just having your hole in your head connect. It's a bit like in the gym, you know, that mind muscle connection.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's just the two kind of talking in unison as well. I mean, you know, just having trust as well. Like if you're playing with somebody, just knowing that they're not going to hurt you, that they skilled in what you do. There's a genuine affection or a desire to not hurt you in any way, to fulfill your needs as well. All this just allows you to relax. So I can do it mentally, allow my whole to relax. Mm-hmm. But yeah, unfortunately, there's some people that never learn it with fisting. I'm a sweeping generalization, but I find a lot of people that they can only fist while on substances. Mm-hmm. It's because quite often they've not learned that connection between head and hole. Or they've done it so much and they've kind of lost it a lot along the way. Mm-hmm. Again, that's a big generalization, but I have found that quite a lot. That they kind of, I can only get fisted while because I can't relax otherwise.
All these things can be practiced. So I came from the opposite end of the spectrum to Big Butt Geek. I took a lot of chems over the years for fisting. And these days I do 50-50 maybe. And that includes poppers. So mm-hmm. I came up with the idea a lot of fisters I know do this in their first round of getting fisted, because you'll do it for multiple rounds most often with a partner or partners. In the first round, you do not permit yourself to take any poppers. Mm-hmm. And that can be very helpful because it forces you then to get in the right headspace and allow time to have that happen. But I see it more as an opportunity, actually, of like, okay, let me relax myself. Let my partner relax me. Let's connect. Mm-hmm. Oh, I actually do feel very sexy. Oh, I can open up really well. Oh my God, I'm there. I'm in this moment already. Mm-hmm. And the poppers are not even on the bed.
Yeah.
And that's very liberating and it's very reassuring. Mm-hmm. And so for people, especially who, you know, have a history of taking stuff and grabbing the poppers as an enabler, mm-hmm. to practice not doing that. Yeah, I think that's the way.
I think there's actually a big part of that you just mentioned is, you know, also the counterpart to us is, you know, the fister is someone who really can set the mood. And I would love to dive in deeper into that. But before that, I'd love to just take a break and have a word from our sponsors.
Deny Dumpling, you're a permalock sub. What cage are you locked in right now?
I'm wearing the pink Kink 3D Cobra N with a size 1 curved ring. It's incredibly comfortable and currently my favorite cage. How about you, Lockfiss?
I have the black Kink 3D Cobra S extra wide because I'm extra thick with a size 2 and size 3 curved rings. It's also my favorite non-metal cage.
Getting the fit right can be pretty annoying for chastity play. So part of what makes Kink 3D so great is their interchangeable parts. Any size cage fits on any base ring, so you can make adjustments as your chastity journey evolves.
That's right. Also, they provide live fittings at stores like Mr. S Leather in San Francisco,
Leatherman in New York City,
and at various kink events all around the world, like Claw in Cleveland,
International Mr. Leather in Chicago,
Kink Down South in Atlanta,
Dory Alley and Folsom Street Fair, and so much more.
So if you're curious about chastity and are going to be in one of those cities or at one of those events, you can get fitted for a cage.
And you can listen to our season 1 episode, The Right Cage Is Out There, on how to measure yourself for a cage before getting your own.
These cages are extremely well made, they're comfortable, durable, and easy to clean. Definitely my first choice for anyone getting into chastity.
You can buy these cages on kink3d.com.
There's also a subreddit, our Kink3D Exchange, where people sell or exchange their gently used cages and rings.
So what are you waiting for? Get locked today with Kink3D. And we're back. The question on the board is fisting etiquette. How can new fisting tops make their fisting bottoms feel safe, secure, and open?
Trim your nails.
File them.
Yes, trim, file, buff them. If whatever you need. No, honestly, I mean for anyone listening that's new to this, obviously, I'm very serious when I say that. That's like 101. I've had so many people be like, "I'd like to try it on you," and I'm like, "Take one look at their nails, like absolutely no fucking way. Yeah. You're clearly not serious about this. You're not serious about me. You don't respect me. Get out." No, I've had a few drag queens that are like, "Oh, can I? I'm kind of interested." I was like, "But those nails? No. Let's spend a lot of money on them." No. Yeah, I think you kind of got to be an ass person as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta love butt. You gotta love what butts do. You gotta love holes. Like it's beautiful back there. Like just you gotta love it. Like
you've got to, it's a kink in and of itself. It's like sucking, I think, to be dick. An ass man.
Like, you gotta love dick to suck dick. Yeah. You're not gonna like. Could you imagine getting head from someone that's not really like dick? Like it's the same thing. Like
yeah, a lot of women.
Like, oh, fuck, that's a butt. Yeah, that's a big, beautiful butt. Or maybe it's a beautiful tiny butt. Or you know, oh, it's hairy, it's smooth. Oh, you know, you've just gotta love that.
You've gotta love it, and you've gotta be vocal about how you love it.
Yes,
because like especially if he's on his front, he can't see you.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, there's nothing that will quite like make me relax and get me in the mood. As I bend over, someone goes, "Fuck, that's a beautiful, huge ass you've got." I'm like, "Thank you." Yeah, and I'm like, "Oh, great." You know, we're
you'll jiggle it for them right after they say that.
Confirmation, yeah. Words of affirmation.
Yeah,
there are so many other things involved as well. Of course, like touch. Like, actually be intimate. Don't just put your hand in my butt. Hold me.
Yes.
Even before you get in there, hold me, hug me, kiss me, stroke me.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy? There's people I've played with and like I've been like elbow fucking deep in them. And those are the people I've maybe played with once and never again. I've been like elbow fucking deep in them, but will not even kiss me.
So strange.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're very talented, but it's just sort of this weird disconnect. I mean, this is going into a different part, but it's weird. Like, I touched your heart. Not quite. But, you know, like, I felt your heartbeat. Weird that, like, you know, we've not even been, like, intimate. That's kind of weird. That's a different sort of avenue to go down.
Yeah, after a good round of fisting, like, I usually need some skin contact. Like, especially if I've had like some
honey, yeah.
Yeah, like hold me for a bit.
Hold me. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then similarly, I think that especially if they're in a sling, you need to remember to wipe up it's polite to wipe up your bottom afterwards. After the round is over. Is, you know, grab the paper towel or the puppy pad and just sort of gently mop some of that lube out of the way, especially if they're about to get out of a sling.
Yeah, we did a whole episode on etiquette not too long ago. And like for me, it was like determining why is this important? It's not only out of politeness, it's out of necessity. It's like so that nobody slips on the lube that would otherwise then end up on the ground. All of this etiquette stuff is related to safety, which should be, you know, paramount.
Mm. Also, one big pro tip. Obviously, we're not scat queens. We're not, but
speak for yourself.
You're slowly coming out of the closet. You don't have to have an affinity for shit, but you better get comfortable with shit very quickly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you are freaked out by a little nugget or a speck of something, any hint of beige, then this is not the kink for you, because shit will happen. Accidents will happen despite people's best ever. You'll know very quickly the difference between someone who's, you know, spent hours cleaning out and whoops, they've had an accident, something was unearthed from the depths. It happens to all of us versus someone that's actually not clean out at all. You'll know the differences totally. And I have all the sympathy in the world for someone that has had a genuine accident, because my God, it's happened to me. It's happened to so many people I've played with. So get used to that happening and be cool about it. Just, it will happen. Just be like, oh, okay, have a, you know, I sometimes say like, oh, we've got a little whoopsie, we've got a little co-brown, like, and be cool. Be like, yeah, do you want to go clean up for a bit, have another round? Or hey, we can pause for a bit, just see how things settle down. Or hey, you know, maybe we'll just flip this round for a bit and, you know, I'll, you know, you can top me for a bit as well. Do not freak the fuck out.
Oh yeah.
It's not cool. It really isn't. You are delving into where shit comes from. It may well happen. So be cool, people.
Exactly. Like so of these two things, fisting and shit going through your system, only one of those is actually natural. And it's not the fisting.
Yes.
What?
Like, does that blow people's minds? There was something other else. I really like to talk before a session. I like at the beginning when I arrive or the other person arrives, it's like, sometimes I just need to get shit off my chest from the day, from the week. I canceled a session on Friday. I canceled a session on Friday because
you leave that shit all over your chest and
there was just too much stuff in my head. I spent most of Friday doing my taxes. I don't know, for some people might be sexy, but for me it's definitely not. And that was a big mistake. I did finish my taxes, so that was nice. But like, I was in no mood to fist anymore. I think the only thing that could have helped me at that point, it was to actually convince myself that I should go over to my friend's place and see him and debrief with him about my week. And then maybe I would have gotten in the mood.
Yeah.
I didn't make it to that point this time, but in the past I have, and it's been so helpful. You know, sometimes you spend more than an hour just like debriefing, just like getting all the stuff out of my head and then finding, okay, now I'm at peace and there's space. And when there's space in your head, you make space in your body for things.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, it's so funny that you bring that up because, as you know, since we last summer, I was really starting out with fisting. And one of my biggest issues was really like facing fears about like pain and discomfort and all of that. And you can't really go into a situation that's like possibly stressful, especially for new fisters, if you already have a lot on your like shoulders that you're thinking about. You can't relax. You really have to finish everything out, close the loop, and then make more space, and then give yourself, you know, the grace to go into a really stressful experience for new fisters, at least.
Okay. Yeah. That's certainly my experience. I can't speak for other fisters. Like, you see, especially like porn actors, you assume that they're just always ready and always hot for it. I don't know, BBG, how's it for you?
Yeah, I'm definitely like, if I'm stressed, if I have anxiety, it's not, I can't get in the right headspace for fisting, either as a top or a bottom. But I know people that's the thing that they do to alleviate that stress and anxiety.
Right.
So it's, yeah, I wish I could be one of those people. Maybe they're just the ones with the giant holes. I don't know. They're making all the progress, but if I have too much on, I can't do. I've cancelled many a session. I think I probably blame my guts because always you get out of jail free card. But actually, it's just like I'm just stressed about other things in my life, and like I just can't get into the right headspace, or I know I won't. So there's no point in trying. I need to deal with this life shit that's going on, and then I can, you know, have all the furniture up me.
I have another question in regards to my fisting journey. One of the biggest roadblocks is, now that I've gotten my master's fist in me, and he's got like huge paws, I'm very proud of myself. You know, we've worked pretty hard.
I thought you meant like your master's in fisting, like, you know, like your diploma.
Zom and Keyholder.
He went to the University of Adel. He got his master's in fisting after his bachelor's in butt fucking.
Right.
He's like, a very well educated queer.
Oh. But yeah, my Dom, Sir CJ, my master, he has really big bear hands, and we finally, you know, got past that hurdle in December of last year. But currently there's this part of my second hole that when I get past it, it just sends involuntary feelings of panic throughout my body. And we've tried using smaller, thinner toys to like move past the bend, but whenever it gets past a certain point, it's just not comfortable. And I can't mentally will myself to relax in the same way that I can do so for big toys. It hits past a certain point, whether it's a toy or a finger, and I just shake and I have to like push or eject whatever's touching it. Has that ever been an experience you guys have had?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think that's quite normal.
I mean, that's something I'm only more recently getting more comfortable with and better at. If you're in the same city, I highly recommend Jazz's Hands to help you with your depth. He's very adept at that.
Passion.
So, we need to plan a trip to Berlin.
I'm good at I'm very good at stretching holes. He's very good at making them deeper. So we both have our skill set because I have teeny tiny hands. So. Yeah, I mean, goes without saying.
Is there just like a no fly zone after a certain part of the intestines?
There absolutely was for years. It's only recently that like, oh yeah, second hole, and it is this like sensation. And but it's I mean, you know the difference between pain and obviously something new and unfamiliar. And obviously pain, stop what you're doing. It shouldn't be painful. But but you get to learn the difference between what's unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. And it just takes time coaxing. If you get that feeling of like, oh no, go with it, ejects, and then slowly try again. Just you know, tap on the door, see if it opens up. If not, just give it a bit of rest. Come back, tap again, see if it opens up.
Yeah.
Some people find that easier with hands, smaller hands. Some people find it better with like a nice tapered toy, like Top Toys have the spike, or SquarePeg have like the slink. Those toys tend to be quite good. But then obviously it's kind of a blunt object that you don't really control. So sometimes it is better with someone with small hands. They say that's personal preference as well. But it's just your body getting used to something that's very unfamiliar. And it's not used to things going up that way. It's used to things going down that way. And it will take, it's taken me years. And it's only recently that I can just be like, oh yeah, you can go deeper. You can get past that second ring. I mean, I've not played for a couple of weeks, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how quickly that bounces back.
It's
unfortunately the very boring answer, but it is the correct answer for a lot of this.
I wonder if I can add a couple of things to that. It's so fucking, it's the trickiest. Depth for, I think most people is the trickiest. And like, I definitely spent about 5 years slowly getting in there. And it's really a millimeter by millimeter or whatever measurements you people in the US like to use for that tiny little increments.
Eighth of an inch. It's 1/8 of an inch.
Centimeters. It's also fine. We use
3/8 of an inch at a time. and
powering to it.
And the I think the maybe this thing that you need to be aware of in the background is that everything changes. So if you feel awkwardness, if you feel pain, never make the decision that this is not for you and that you can't do it. It's just come out again. Even just wait a few minutes, go have a cup of tea, come back, try it again. Okay, it goes 1 millimeter deeper. Ooh, success. Like, that's how it worked for me. And then in the moments that I was not really trying to get deeper, something went significantly deeper. And I'm just like, oh my God. Okay. And this doesn't feel like it's about to kill me. I suppose I can like this. This is okay. And I'm really happy that I'm achieving this success right now when I didn't expect it, you know? And so it's the work you put in millimeter by millimeter. And then the surprising moments where more goes in and you're just like, am I about to break? But oh my God, this also feels really good. Another element to it is like, well, it generally just really knowing yourself, knowing your body and constantly questioning it as well. Like this thing that I'm reminded of is for the first few years of getting deep inside myself, I had to do it alone. I couldn't do it with another person watching me or trying to do it for me or trying to put his hand in deeper. No, I needed a really, really thin toy. I needed the house to be empty. I needed to be in the right position on all fours with a pillow under me. Mm-hmm. Everything had to be perfect. That's how I work. These days, I'm a bit more relaxed with it. Someone can fist me quite deep. It's fun, but like it had to happen bit by bit. I think the tendency is to want to push through because it's like, well, it feels like it's hitting a wall. Maybe if I push harder, then it'll be okay. Maybe then the wall will just fall away. No, it doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. So yeah, it's just like take it one tiny little step at a time. And wherever you are is perfect.
And also it's always important with any progress with this kink, your progress is not a straight line. It'll zigzag across, it'll go up and it'll go down, much like your collar. And I've had times where, you know, I can get doubled easily, and then another time you can't, and sometimes it's really deep, and other times it's shallow. It'll do what it wants to do. I've had times where I've had periods where I've been fisting quite sort of religiously and, you know, playing a lot, seeing, oh, my progress will increase, and it doesn't, and then I'll have like a couple of months off, I'll go back to go, oh wow, I'm wider and deeper than ever before. It's just how your guts work. It's just whatever's going on mentally with you as well. So any good quality fister will know what you could do last session is not necessarily what you can do this session as well. What will happen will happen. And that's a good advice for tops as well. Like, just because you saw, let's say if it's your first time playing with someone, just because you saw a video of them doing something crazy online doesn't mean they're going to be able to do that with you. Or just because you did double with them last time doesn't mean you're going to do double this time as well.
Motion for the Such Fun Boys to coin the term anal karma and then to use it regularly.
Anal karma.
I like that. Yeah.
How's your anal karma recently? Is it looking good? No, I was terrible yesterday. I had a XYZ food.
I like it. We'll use it. So, completely changing gears. Jazmataz, recently you got in trouble with the German government.
Yeah, my anal karma is terrible.
can you tell us what happened?
Okay, so end of 2022, the German government, well, an arm associated with the German government, like the media watchdog, I guess, decided that porn is bad because minors can see it on the internet.
Oh, no.
And any platform that is displaying porn without an age verification system deserves to be gone after. And for some reason, they chose Twitter as the place to attack. Even though, of course, there are countless other websites you can go to as a minor and not have to get your age verified in order to see the content. I think Twitter is just a really obvious place for that. And the government didn't decide to go after Twitter itself as a company. They decided to go after individual content creators that were uploading their nudie stuff to Twitter. Firstly, they came for the porn actors, and I said nothing. And then eventually they came for me. And I was not a porn creator, essentially, at the time. I would make videos, like, just for fun and photos, and sometimes things would end up on Twitter. And I should have been more vigilant, because I was like, this isn't going to happen to me. I'm not a porn actor. So they came after me, and they fined me €900. Which was three times the standard amount that porn actors were getting fined for their uploading of content.
Why was yours so much?
It was never made clear. They had me on two counts instead of one. Mm. Maybe that's what it was. The photo that I'm absolutely certain they caught initially, based on the date that they said they caught it, was this gorgeous, gorgeous photo of me with, like, my biceps inside a friend. He's lying on his front. I'm like kneeling over him. Elbows disappeared. I think it's a work of art. That's why I uploaded it to Twitter, you know? So turns out, like, all of these porn creators, there's another element. The reason this is ridiculous is because the media watchdog can only fine people residing in Germany. Mm-hmm. So they can take away all of the content creators uploading to Twitter within Germany, but it makes no fucking difference for the minors out there and the protection of minors out there, because German minors can still go on Twitter and see content by anybody outside of Germany. Mm-hmm. So what the fuck are you doing? Wasting your time censoring German residents uploading porn to Twitter. Mm-hmm. So, like, anybody in the media watchdog would realize this, obviously, but they chose to go on their crusade anyway. And I was one of the late victims of that. I was very lucky to receive a lot of support from followers on Twitter, friends on Twitter. I posted my PayPal account, and most of the €900 that I have had to pay was donated by friends and followers. So I'm very thankful for that. But yeah, it was just, I mean, the other element you could say is also, like, is it really bad? I'm just going to pose this as a question. Is it bad that minors can see porn on Twitter? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean,
it's inevitable.
First off, you're never going to stop horny teenage boys. I'm sure horny teenage girls, but definitely you'll never stop horny teenage boys from finding things to jerk off to and whether you intend them to be porn or not, they will make it porn. And if there's any porn that is ever produced, they will find a way to access it. Like when I was, you know, when I was 13 and horny, I was on a mission and I would find stuff. And like, there's no. So one, you're not going to stop them. Two, psychologically, is it really that damaging to them to like, I don't think it is. I think if you're getting all of your lessons on sex from porn, that can be dangerous and stupid. But if you've got like a well-rounded, healthy sexual education, then consuming porn should have no real psychological impact on you. Like in the same way that like watching like violent movies or violent TV shows or horror films, if like your only exposure to like how our society works is through Terminator and Rambo movies, you're probably going to turn out to be like a damaged person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a well-rounded education and you're a well-rounded upbringing and you watch the occasional Rambo movie, you're going to be fine. Like it's not going to like cause long-term damage to you. It's not going to convince you that the appropriate reaction to someone trying to arrest you is to like get a machine gun and kill all of the cops in your town. So I think the restrictions on minors watching porn is stupid.
I think the solution, if you want to stop minors from watching porn, is lock them up.
Lock up those
dicks, and then they can't masturbate.
They will find new and interesting ways to masturbate, and two, they will just be desperately hungry for porn then.
Irresponsibly so. It might make them do crazier things, in fact.
Backfire horribly. Although it would make a great premise for an erotic story. So your reaction to getting fined was you started your Just for Fans.
I
did that,
yeah. I wanted to spite the government. I was like, well, if you're gonna do this to me, then fuck you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna capitalize. Excuse me. Just for Fans is going well. In the first month, it went really well. Like I was surprised at how many people subscribed. I was like, wow, okay. And then a friend.com/JasmatazOz, by the way, a friend of mine who I've collaborated with a number of times now, who's like really into the business of it all. He's like, yeah, just wait until like your second month is over and then things settle down and then you'll see really how it's going. So my second month is now over.
Okay.
And things have settled down and I get, you know, the occasional subscriber, but recurring subscriptions, like people that you know, keep their subscription turned on, their rebilling turned on. That's a decent base.
Yeah.
And I think like that's, yeah, going forward, I can be happy with that current base. Yeah. I see a beautiful /disturbing thing for me is like, my Twitter is still PG. I'm not allowed to post X-rated content because I'm just going to get fined again if I do.
Right.
So all the advertising I do has to be like word-based.
Right.
And sometimes I feel like writing that, so I do, and sometimes I don't. And so I you know, and Twitter is always, probably for all of us, I imagine it's the case. It's like some days you're into Twitter and some days you're not. Some days you need a mental health break from fucking Twitter.
Yeah.
And now that it's attached to this commodity of my Just for Fans, I'm often wondering, should I be on Twitter right now writing little ads for my thing, or do I just need to cut it out and pretend it doesn't exist for today? And good days and bad days.
Can you just like, if you do have to write a whole bunch of ads, just like sit down one afternoon, write them all out, and then just like schedule, tweet them, and then not have to think about them?
I imagine some people do.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of person. I don't plan for the future. I don't schedule things.
Unless if it's fisting.
Well, even then, and I've been thinking lately I should do this more. Like my fister friends, I'm like, hey, do you want to fist tonight or do you want to fist tomorrow? And they're like, no, I planned to fist with somebody else already weeks ago. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess I've got to work on that. Cause like, yeah, I'm not as big a planner as I should be. That's for sure.
And so how do you balance these sort of separate spheres of now you're doing sex work. Now you've got your Just for Fans. you have your usual sex life, and then you got your whole rest of life that is not sex. How do you balance these different spheres?
I will point out, Big Butt Geek also has a Just for Fans, and I think this question could be for both of us.
Same question for Big Butt Geek.
It's like I technically have one.
And that's what I want to get to as well. I also want to be like, I don't want to focus on it so much that it's like a thing, you know? I want it to operate in the background. If I want to film the sex I'm having with my friends, great. If not, great.
Yeah, like I got a few videos on Play Session a couple of weekends ago, and some lovely video. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. I'll edit them together and I'll post it to Just for Fans. Why not? But then I'm certainly not gonna like promote it or anything. It's just like, hey, if you're interested, there it is. And it's mostly an excuse just to befriend people that I know on there that actually do make lots of content, and then I'm like, oh great, just jack off to this. Beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. I go through different moods. Like sometimes I want to advertise the shit out of it and be like, everybody needs to see this because this is great fisting. And if you want to know what great fisting is, then you should watch this. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, just being like, well, if people really want to see it, they can see it. If they don't, then fuck them.
Oh, that's true for every content creator, the ebb and flow of motivation.
Although there's some who are shockingly prolific. Like,
yeah, but are they, is this their main job then?
The ones who are shockingly prolific, it is their main job. And I was talking, you know, I have some friends who it is their main job and who are like, have hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers, are extremely prolific. And I was like asking them, like, how much do you actually make off of this? And it's not a lot.
Is it not? I've heard the opposite.
Yowei Toy.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. He's super prolific. Great stuff. He was telling me that like his income is like 40,000 a year off of this, which is not nothing.
That's after tax.
That might be before tax.
Before tax. Oh god. Okay.
Yeah. Like that was like gross. Not net. But that's not a lot. It's like, and he like films like three times a week or something. Like he's insanely prolific.
That's a lot of work.
I think Pup Davy had that whole little video bit he did. Where he's like, it turns out like I'm the number four guy at Just for Fans. And on the one hand, thank you everyone. But like also, oh my God, I don't make that much money off of that. Like the port is kind of fucked.
We wrap up, I wanted to ask our lovely guests if they had any questions for Chastity Pod hosts Locked Fist or Deny Dumpling.
There was something I thought of before, and now it's not on my mind again anymore.
You want to play?
Yeah, you want to play?
I mean, that's my plan for later today. Like after we get off this, I'm gonna head to the bathroom, clean out, mix some lube,
do some hot yoga,
text some people, be like, who's getting their hands in me today?
Yeah, I'd love to meet you guys in real life, and I would love to get a in-person lesson of how you guys like to fist. That would be the easiest way to be learning, you know?
When are you guys
like get fisted? I like to get fisted on a motorcycle these days. That's my preferred method.
Are you joking or are you serious?
No, we actually did that recently. It was terrible.
Nice. And we'll have to plan ahead because Jazz mentioned he's a terrible planner.
Was the motorcycle in motion or was it just like stationary?
It was like bolted to a wall.
Okay, good. I had this horrifying...
I don't know why it was in the basement of a sauna, which is kind of weirder.
A fetish of Jada art, you know. All right.
Yeah, it's just there, so you can be like, oh, did you get fisted on the motorcycle? Like, yeah, I got fisted on the motorcycle. Nowhere near comfortable, but just that you did it.
Oh, the novelty.
Yeah. No, but you know what we did do? But we shared a giant pump dick next to the bike. Do you remember?
We did. We did.
Yeah.
A friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think that's about everything for us then. Thank you so much for joining us today and joining on the pod. We love our little crossover episodes.
Thank you for having us.
You're like our sister cousin podcast, complimentary podcast.
Sister wives.
Love it.
I don't know who's the husband though.
Well,
Kink.
You know how people fisting. Have like drag mothers. Can we be your podcast mother?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes, you're our podcast mothers.
Such fun has our pathetic little dicks locked up in a cage.
Aw, you like that pig?
No. Oink, oink.
if our listeners want to find you guys, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter as Big Butt Geek and on Instagram, what is it now? Because I had my account taken. The Big Butt Geek on Instagram. You can find the podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Just Such Fun with two Fs. That's how you find it. I mean, it's available wherever podcasts are streamed, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google. It's available everywhere.
All right. And Jazz Mataz, where are you?
I'm on Twitter, JAZZ or MATAZZOZ.
That's a lot of Z's. A lot of
Z's. Yeah. I had to. Somebody else had to.
You can do it all over again. Already. Streamline it.
I would certainly try.
Well, that's our show, Jazz and Big Butt Geek. Why don't you guys close us out?
Oh, yeah. What's it? What is it again? What am I saying? Oh, shit.
You're supposed to say, no, we'd love to. You know, let's try this.
Love to.
I'd love to. Fucking love to.
The line is, for you, Big Butt Geek, thanks for listening, everyone. And then Jazz ends with, and until next time, stay
locked.
I'm
looking at it right now.
Okay, I'm ready. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And until next time, stay locked.
All right.
That's our show.
Forever locked and listening to